Kanban Show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/Kanban. There's over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, Zoom, iPhone, or MP3 player.
People are making babies to this show. Musty basement.
All right.
It's the Kanban Show.
Welcome to the Kanban Show. Geeky, nerdy fun with four guys I know. Chad, Kevin, Butters, Jamie, and Tim. I just can't wait for the show to begin. Welcome to the Kanban Show. 50 episodes down and more to go. I just can't wait for the show to begin. I have so much fun listening. Nerdgasm. The Kanban Show is a coming right at you. Geeky, nerdy fun with a guest interview. Come here to get news or check with Butters the Stalker or get your weekly fill of that Luke Skywalker. They're a lovable, huggable group of guys. The ladies be melting when we be walking by, discussing the movies, the updates on sci-fi. The strong and handsome and sometimes shy.
Live from Theater Cedar Rapids, The Can Man Show, starring me. I'm The Can Man. I'm not really the star of the show. I just have the name on the show.
It's my show. It's done at my house. Normally, it's done at your house.
Normally, it's done at my house. But today, we are live at Theater Cedar Rapids in their new Lingy Lounge. Joining me tonight, of course, is Kevin.
I feel like we should have liquor or refreshments.
We
or
should
something.
Have refreshments.
Can we Cognac. Go raid the bar?
Well, I don't think there's anything in the bar. I think
yes.
It's
oh, there
over
is.
At,
there's
over at Zinn's.
Stella Artois.
Quite a few.
Really?
Some
oh, you
Bud
peaked.
Lights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chad, there's
Tall
beer.
Boys.
Yes, I'm
oh,
peaked.
You looked in the you mean in yeah. the kitchen area?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's locked up.
Oh, wow.
Well, behind glass.
We can put some money on the counter and
yeah.
get something.
I'm sure.
Be
I'm
honest,
sure.
we're watching you.
And then Dan Alpers is here.
What it is.
What it is. And then actually, we got an empty seat right now.
Yeah.
Corey Jordan.
Say
got
hello, empty seat.
He was going to be here tonight, but he's got Hi. A sinus infection. So another night, we are recording late at
I
night.
Hope he's not
it's about
it out.
9:40 on Monday night.
Is it that late?
Yeah, it's that late.
Well,
it's 9:43.
Oh, my goodness.
We have some funky stuff.
We better get this.
Road on the
show.
Yeah.
This
well, we're starting so late because I have rehearsal for Still Life with Iris at Theater Cedar Rapids, which opens this Thursday. Actually, Friday, technically. Thursday is the preview night, but Friday it actually opens. And you should get your tickets now at theatercr.org because it's a pretty great show.
Theatre.
Old school theater.
CR.org.
Yep. Theatercr.org.
Do they have a Twitter account as well then?
Oh, I bet they do.
I think they do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it is.
Facebook, MySpace, we got it all.
They got a Facebook. They actually have two Facebook pages. Go figure. So, welcome to the show. How was your week?
It was an interesting week. It was a busy week.
Good.
Very busy week.
Yeah.
Kid got diagnosed with problems with her ears, so she got ear tubes on Friday. So
tubes rock.
Yeah, pretty quick. 5 minutes in, out.
Oh,
done.
Yeah. It's a
Let's
quick little procedure.
Yeah.
Really, so. They're just like they're just putting little straws in there.
Yeah, we had to run by McDonald's real quick and get them some straws before.
Yeah.
No.
Really, that's what they do. Put little straws in the.
But McDonald's has like really
deal.
Big straws.
Yep.
Yeah.
When
With yellow
when
and red
really,
on them.
Really thirsty. I love that.
Yeah. So we could have did that ourselves.
I guess. Well, no.
Yeah, scissors.
There's a little
yeah.
bit more to it than that.
Tweezers.
It's pretty much what they're doing.
So you're taking, so I should use like a bar straw? Well, those are a little small
yeah,
ones.
Yeah.
That'd probably
Something
work
like
better.
That, but it's got to be, you know, sterilized and
Yeah,
stuff.
That, yeah.
Made out of surgical material, which really is plastic, but it's more expensive because it's called surgical material.
Yeah.
Comes in a
so
fancy
yeah.
plastic.
So envelope. In this lounge here, it feels like I'm in an aquarium. The walls in here... to my back here change color randomly. And it's pretty cool. There's three different panels that change, and they got kind of a wave, water wave pattern on them. And then around us, we can see First Avenue, Cedar Rapids. The traffic is going by. The cops have somebody pulled over on the next block in front of Gringos.
Nope, they just let them go.
Let them go. So we had the cops over there, so that's exciting. So you might hear some cars drive by or some sirens.
Rainy evening.
We are right here. Yeah, it's beautiful, though. It's a beautiful
rainy evening. This is very movie-esque. It's very, remember Batman? Mm-hmm. The very first one with Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Very color-esque.
The very, very beginning of the movie, it was rainy, and it was very Gotham City.
I feel the future, baby.
Picking on me for being a Prince fan again.
No, I was just, because that was the theme. I mean, that was what was going on in
yes,
that scene.
Yes, it is.
I feel the
Absolutely
future, baby.
Right.
Now, this would be a cool little place to, you know, keep as a bar all the time.
Yeah.
No, not just, not just when there are shows, but...
Just have it as a bar.
You know, if they had a way to access it from the outside, God, they could run this as a bar all the time.
Well, I think they're going to rent it out for, like weddings and private parties and such. But really, it's for a place for the patrons of the theater to come, you know, after a show or during intermission. Before, the lobby area was very cramped, and it's a much larger lobby now since they've remodeled.
Well, you just kind of stood around and... looked at each other, you know.
Now they've got a full-fledged concession area, fully stocked bar, as you guys discussed, you know,
wine
beers
glasses
and wine and that kind of thing. And then the restaurant around the corner, Zinn's, serves hors d'oeuvres and different things here. And it's open for an hour before the show and an hour after the show. So, you know, come and have some stuff and hang out. Now, in the room here... one of my pals, Len Strutman, is here, and I might have him hop on the mic.
It's a free mic. Come on down.
Come on down, Len. You can sit in with us. Len is a guy that does a lot of stuff around here, but he's in the show. He's playing the role of memory mender. Remember, last week I mentioned that people's memories are not stored in their brains; they're stored on your coats. It's his character's job to make sure everybody's coats are functional. So, how you doing, Len?
I forget.
I don't have the right coat on.
I've lost one of my buttons.
No, I'm doing great. We had a great rehearsal tonight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It went really fast. Up until tonight, we did a lot of stopping and starting as we ran the show. And tonight, we didn't stop. It was just nonstop go. And I have, in the second act, I have a costume change where before I had plenty of time to get, you know, changed and to go have a snack in the green room and, you know, make it upstairs. Today I barely had time to get my socks on.
Yeah, we had to force feed him.
Yeah.
So it took you a long time to get that one outfit on and then put the flowery hat on with the painter's outfit?
Well, seriously. Those yellow socks are a pain in the rear to get on, and then,
they almost,
you know,
look like tights.
You could make them
almost
tear away.
Yeah, I have the tearaway pants from Full Monty somewhere. Or do I?
So are they going to get some? Now, I heard you were complaining about your pants. Can they get you some stretchy pants?
They probably can. Okay. The flower painter. I have two characters they play in the show. Flower painter. Who's kind of he's kind of flaming, and but his pants are a little snug, so they're, I'm afraid I'm going to bust a button before the end of the show.
That way your voice is a little higher than that.
Yeah.
That role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm kind of going for a little, almost like Truman Capote. Is kind of what I'm going for. I'm gonna try and play that up a little bit more.
You know, I got to say though, it reminded me of the Otho character from Beetlejuice.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys didn't really see much of him because. In the first act is where you really get to know the flower painter in the first, I don't know, a couple minutes of the show, and then he disappears.
No, I don't know why I watched this movie right before I came over here, but I was watching the Imaginarium of
Dr. Parnassus,
like right before I came over here, and then
Terry Gilliam's newest film, Heath Ledger's last performance,
and. I liked it. I didn't get to see the last like 30 minutes, so I see how it ended. But
I heard that it was good. Depending on who you talk to, a lot of people really enjoyed it, and a lot of people thought it was a big mess. You know, like they really tried. They should have just kind of made it Like when Terry Gilliam was trying to do the Don Quixote movie, he every time that he went to make it, it just bad weather. Yeah, it was just horrible. So they ended up making a documentary of it failing. Some people, it was Chris Gore from, he's on the tack of the show. He said that it almost would have been better if they would have made a documentary like he did for the Don Quixote movie.
No. But I don't think so. I liked the movie so far. I mean, it, you know, in certain spots, it's kind of hard to follow along. And, you know, he's just crazy. I mean, the imagery, when they go into that other world, and just, it's crazy.
Does it feel like The Adventures of Baron von Munchausen or 12 Monkeys or any of his other work?
It's like that, but let's, you know, he now has access to, you know, a lot better special effects. So,
right.
I mean, he can, you know, he's not
cutting and pasting, like, you know, used to in Monty Python.
He can do anything he wants, and you can totally see that in the movie. I mean, some of the things are just nuts.
I mean, for people who do not know Terry Gilliam, he was the American in the troupe of Monty Python, but he also was the guy behind the animations on Monty Python.
At the time, he was the American.
Yeah.
Apparently, since then, he's renounced his American citizenship.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh. Is he English now, or what is he?
I guess.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, wouldn't surprise me.
He was on, I can't think of his name. Not Jimmy Kimmel. Who's the guy that played Corky Romano?
The guy that's on
He's got his own show now.
Oh, he does?
Oh, the late night guy.
Yeah.
The really late night guy.
Wow, he's forgettable.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I watch the show all the time.
Isn't he on the, was he one of the guys with Will Ferrell that Night of the Roxbury?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, what the heck is his name? Monkey. He played the monkey boy too.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got people shouting at the iPod right now. The entire Monty Python crew was on his show, and that's when Terry was renouncing his citizenship.
Yeah, making fans in the U.S., that's for sure.
How do you do that?
How do you renounce your citizenship? Yeah. I imagine, you know, it'd be like becoming a citizen, you know, like people from Mexico coming here and renouncing their Mexican citizenship and becoming American citizens. Imagine you probably have to do something like go to Parliament or something. I don't know. For our UK listeners, if you can tell us how we would renounce our citizenship and become, citizens of the UK, that'd be interesting to find out. So send us an email, thecanmanshow@gmail.com. would love to
renouncing your membership to the podcast, or whatever.
Yeah, renounce your membership,
giving your money back, asking for your money back for the podcast,
which is free. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Terry Gilliam actually did all the animations and in the animated spots on the Monty Python series.
Well, the one thing I can say is I've been trying to get the movie for a little while, and every time I went to Blockbuster, always out. I don't think they had a Blu-ray version of it, which doesn't make sense.
No, it actually came out on Blu-ray, but might not be available.
They must not have a copy there, because all they had was DVD, and it was always out of stock.
Didn't they file for like Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection?
They did it one time. I'm not sure if they're still,
I thought it was just recently that they were going to do that, file for the bankruptcy protection.
But yeah. Regardless, Buster just sucks. So,
oh, I'm going to disagree with you there.
He loves. He's a fan.
I'm a fan of Blockbuster. Really? Now. I've actually cut my card up in Blockbuster twice back in the day. Because they did all sorts of crazy stuff in the past. Like,
yeah, they would. Well, there was a Clash of X and lawsuit. Blah 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 blah.
Well, I actually
cut.
I brought a movie.
Cut.
Cut. Paste. Yeah. Whatever. Chad'll figure that out.
There was
a Clash Action lawsuit at one time because Blockbuster changed a late fee policy without notifying customers, and so then you were a Blockbuster member from X date to X date, you were able to walk in and get a bunch of free rentals.
Well, like with me, I return movies, and forever I'd come back the next time, and I'd have a late fee, which I thought, what the hell? I thought I returned that on time. Well, the last time, which prompted me to cut the card up in the store, was they...
Did you, like, steal their scissors?
No, I asked them for a scissors. Which at the time, I think, was probably scared the hell out of them when I asked them for a scissors.
You're like,
yeah, I'm going to stab the nearest employee.
Kevin, please don't cut a bitch.
You know, it's like, oh, he's pissed off. Now he wants his scissors.
Yeah, I did.
Man.
But no, I called him, and I got something charged to my credit card. And I was like, I
they charged you a late fee on your card?
I don't know if
was it a one night rental.
They charged me a late fee. And I found out that they charged me for it. They actually charged me for the DVD.
Wait, and, as a purchase?
Yeah.
Oh, if you have your credit card, if
you
do,
yeah. And you know, I was like, what the hell is this? And went into the store. They had put it back on the shelf, never checked it in. So they were able to find it on the shelf, never checked in.
Nice.
And then I cut my card up in front of them, which I thought was appropriate. And
you
also,
can be such a dick at places like that. Like at the Londoner, you almost freaked out on the lady.
Well, she deserved it. And she was trying to talk back to me, which what was the issue?
Oh, it was the kids get their mac and cheese or whatever.
The kids get fries with their meals. We had two kids' meals without fries.
Right.
I'm sorry, your menu, your whatever. You're starting with me now. I'm going to ask for scissors and stab you in the heart if you don't stop.
Potatoes.
but no, I and then I had anyway. Getting back to Blockbuster, then I had went a year or so, and then I decided to go back to the Devil, which was Blockbuster.
Prompted you to go back?
Hollywood
to the
Video did something weird, didn't they?
Well,
did you have to cut a bitch there too?
Yeah, do I have to cut someone at Blockbuster? No, I wanted video games, and they were the only people that had like a good selection of video games, so I started joining them. And the reason that I quit them the second time around and got rid of my card right there, because I thought I might as well do it a second time because the first time worked so well. But
such an experience.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed that. And actually, what I should have did is I should have kept the card because I found out that another place you could get like free rentals if you gave them your Blockbuster card. I should have just kept going back to Blockbuster and getting new card. Oh, I lost my card. Keep getting free rentals at the other place. But anyway, and that went along pretty good, and I was able to get new games for my 360, and then I started having trouble getting games, and I thought, are you just not getting enough in? What's the deal? And then I had a guy behind the counter go, yeah, we only got like two copies, and I got the last copy. So
yeah,
at that time,
when they say that, you just want
to. I wanted to jump across the counter and strangle him. So I said, "It's can I have scissors? Someone's got to cut a Blockbuster employee." So I decided to cut the card up right there again. And I mean, that seems pretty dramatic now that I look at it, because now I'm with them for a third time.
Because now they've got a dull pair of scissors, and the third time you're going
to
go and cut a card.
They have a pair of safety scissors.
Going,
little kid safety scissors.
Thing to cut.
You use it just for games, right? Or do you use it for movies as well?
They have a deal now where I could spend like a couple extra bucks and I could get movies or games. So I think it's better than Netflix, because at any time I can just wander in there, boom, another movie. I've went and got three movies in one day.
Wow.
Where I watch the movie, come back, trade it, watch the movie, come back. Now, that was when I was, like, off work and, bored.
Yeah.
But, I think it's a pretty good deal. And they've upped how many copies that they keep of, like, everything.
Well, that's good.
Which doesn't make sense with hearing they have problems with bankruptcy and everything. Which,
here it is, May, and I still have Netflix. Well, I was supposed to cancel it, but I...
Really?
weren't charging us.
Really?
They weren't charging my card, and she's like... They haven't charged us for the last 2 months. Just go ahead and keep it. I'm like, all right. So I kept it, and then they charged their card.
Really? How do they forget?
I don't know. I'm not going to call them and ask them. Well, hey, Netflix, why aren't you charging me?
You need to charge me more money.
Yeah.
I get too much service from you to not be paying for it.
Well, I love the streaming. The streaming is awesome. I just wish there was – I mean, they're adding more titles all the time. I just wish that you could get all the titles on streaming.
Yeah,
because
once that happens, I mean, there's going to be a time where you don't go to a store. I mean, you're going to just stream this to whatever box you got on.
Now
your
you saw
TV.
A good movie. I enjoyed Cirque du Freak, The Vampire's Assistant. I watched it. I thought it was fun.
That movie with that dude that played Dewey Cox.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of cool. It also had the kid that was in.
I thought he was the unknown. I didn't. No, think not he was
the,
in
the main
else.
Character. Yeah, but the lizard boy, the snake kid or whatever.
Oh yeah,
or the one that was peeling. Or,
yeah,
he was in that Almost Famous movie that Cameron Crowe directed.
Almost watched it, but didn't.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But I enjoyed Cirque du Freak. I thought it was kind of fun.
I thought it was okay. It was a rental. It wasn't a buy. It wasn't a go in the theater and watch it.
I think I'm going to buy it.
Whatever.
Rip it. Buy it.
Buy
it. I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about, Chad. I
buy
I
it.
Have no idea what
it was a
what
buy.
You just said. But anyway. It's just the mood just got real low here for a second.
Yeah,
got
I think they
real
turned the
blue,
lights off on us. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Dark.
That's
so.
All right.
Oh,
so we got to use our sexy voice now.
I don't think they realize we're still in here.
Oh, well.
I hope they don't lock the door on us.
That's cool. If only we could get someone to bring us drinks. I mean,
yeah, no kidding. Hour. So, Len.
Sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Doing well. You watch any movies lately?
Let's see. We watched The Men Who Stare at Goats.
How was that?
Oh,
it's on my list of ones that
I
want to watch.
I had no desire to see that, and then after I watched it, that was a great movie.
It was a great movie. It's subtle. It's British humor. It's dry.
Nice.
And, oh, right up my alley.
And the irony of them talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi about being a Jedi warrior.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amazing. It was
and
a lot of fun.
Clooney was in that.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor.
Spacey was in it.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey was in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
was,
a lot of.
He was the bad guy.
Wow.
No way.
Spoiler.
Kevin Spacey playing a bad guy?
Exactly.
Nice.
But yeah, the whole driving through the desert part where he starts using his Jedi mind powers
to disperse clouds and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to. I guess I don't want to know. I mean, I do want to know, but I'm going to wait to watch it because I've always found telekinesis and telepathic powers, you know, powers of the mind to be interesting, and you know that is really based on. It is based on you know true subject matter. The military has units like that where they're planning on. Where they do those things.
I like the story about how they got it all started with that one guy that went into the hippie culture and started to try and learn and take stuff from the hippie culture. And, you know, it shows him as an uptight, you know, army person and then slowly changing into, yeah, let's hot tub or whatever. So that was pretty good. It's a really good movie. A definite rent.
Yeah.
Really? Any others?
That's about it lately. Been
really?
Too busy.
I'm always busy, and I always find time to watch movies. I don't know why.
Yeah, except Iron Man 2.
I didn't get to make it to Iron Man 2.
I
did watch.
Out,
I did watch both of the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey this weekend.
Why do you rewatch movies when you got all sorts of new movies?
Because I like those movies, and they were on. I have HBO for a limited time, I imagine. So you know they were on, and I recorded them, and it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Just got awfully red.
Yeah.
The lights in this place is awesome.
Well, it alternates.
I
totally
know.
Random. I mean, it could be like a million different colors.
It'd be funny as if your thoughts started to change. Is it now you're all happy?
I'm
it's
all
blue,
happy.
And then it turns dark and red.
They've done research on that. That's why they painted the locker rooms of the opponents
pink
down in Kinnick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Iowa Hawkeyes. And then somebody made a big deal of it, saying that it was discriminatory in some fashion.
Shut up, you pussies. I mean, whatever. If you can't man up and win the game, I mean, come on.
No, it was a woman that said that it was derogatory to women.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. I don't understand the...
Well, get out of the men's locker room. What the hell are you doing there anyway?
It's psychology.
Whatever. Now it's dark and red. We should talk about dark things.
Dark things.
Talk about hell.
Anyway, should we talk about dark things like the stories of...
Okay. So my wife and I have gone through... we had a toilet seat that broke.
Who broke it?
I don't know.
I don't know who broke it.
It was probably
just
me or my son or you know one of us. It got broken.
Well,
we had that... We had one that was getting old, so we replaced it. And when we replaced it, we got one of those soft, cushy seats.
Yeah, well, they weigh like as much as a feather.
Well, yeah. Well, I sat down on it, and I'm a big guy. It popped. Okay. It's popped. It's full of air. It popped. I mean, it wasn't right away. I mean, it took, you know, about a month.
It took a lot of jumping up and down. And
you know. That, my throne popped. So then we kept replacing it. We should spend like $6 toilet seats. You know, you should go to Walmart and buy a $5 hunk of wood to throw on the seat and whatever. So I got sick of it. This last one broke in half. I don't know if it slammed shut or what, but it broke in half. I mean, right cheek, left cheek, broke. And
did you fall in?
No.
Splinters in your ass?
No. I see a market of aircraft quality aluminum seats.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Actually, we went. I'm like, you know what? We're going to put some money on a toilet seat. Backing the story up a little bit. Back when I started the Frightmare Forest, the first or second year, I would treat some of the crew to a Sunday brunch. You know, we would go and have brunch.
When was this?
Yeah.
We weren't there.
I missed out on that.
That was like the third year, maybe. So it was me, Ian,
Kevin,
Corey Osborne, and one of the other guys, and my wife and kids and stuff. So Corey Osborne and I decided to take a trip to the restroom. And we were at the Collins Plaza at the time. And
why do you got a worried look on your face?
Here's the thing. The toilet seats in the Collins Plaza. Now, Corey, I wish Corey was here tonight because he could back me up on this story. The toilet seats there were like the ultimate comfortable toilet seat. It just cupped your cheeks the right way. All right? It just I don't know what it was. It was just the most comfortable toilet seat I've ever sat in my life.
It was ergonomic?
It was like ergonomic, yeah.
Ergonomic. Okay, right. Kind of like your keyboard that you're so
exactly.
in love with.
Kind of like my ergo keyboard for my computer.
Which I can't type on.
No.
Oh, I hate those things.
So
give me something
anyway,
that's gonna wreck my
wrists. I found a $30 toilet seat at Lowe's. And it's
grande.
Got the.
It was it a grande? First. Did it say it in Spanish?
I don't know.
Grande toilet seat.
So strong.
El primo grande.
It doesn't. Toilet seat for you. It's made out of plastic instead of wood, and it has microbiotic. Like it's got stuff that'll kill
all the microbes on your ass.
Microgerms. Yeah.
So you don't get the HIV.
Yeah. Exactly. So you don't get the HIV. So it's got this stuff on it that kills the germs. It cups your cheeks. Just like the seats,
just
of the
so,
Collins, just like the seats of the Collins Plaza, it's even awesome. You can't slam the lid shut. You tip it down and it like hydraulics. It's got like hydraulics in it.
Really?
The only thing it doesn't have is like a cheek warmer.
Yeah, that would be
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of.
I don't think you'd want
actually.
Like a cord, you know.
No, it does not play Dr.
Does it have cherry coating paint on it?
Does it have an input for an MP3 player is what I'm asking. If it doesn't, then that's just wasted.
Yeah, no, without a USB.
Not. Where do you put the batteries in? Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
It was so the best if we 30
find
bucks.
You, so if we find you electrocuted on your toilet sometime, we know that you tried to hook up a seat warmer to it. Huh?
Exactly. Well, Christina says, well, that was the best Mother's Day present she's gotten.
Really?
Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
Jesus.
Nice.
And I got my wife chocolates. What the hell? Yes, I... chocolates. Seat. I...
Hello.
I got it all wrong. I got it backwards. Anyway, so is that your gross story?
Because
I've
really
got
gross.
I've got far greater. You
have gross stories. Wait, before we get to the gross stories, I gotta remind you guys.
Bail on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I gotta remind you guys.
See you later.
Thanks, Len, for stopping in.
Thanks.
Take care, guys.
For you, the listeners, of the Can Man Show podcast, the Can Man Show. Is what I like to call it. Audible.com is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. This week, I'm recommending World War Z, an oral history of the zombie wars. I'm going to play a little clip from that right now.
I remember thinking, this had better be damn serious. Once I saw their faces, I regretted my wish. There were seven of them. All on cots, all barely conscious. The villagers had moved them into their new communal meeting hall. The walls and floor were bare cement. The air was cold and damp. Of course they're sick, I thought. I asked the villagers who had been taking care of these people. They said no one. It wasn't safe. I noticed that the door had been locked from the outside. The villagers were clearly terrified. They cringed and whispered. Some kept their distance and prayed. Their behavior made me angry. Not at them, you understand. Not as individuals, but what they represented about our country. After centuries of foreign oppression, exploitation, and humiliation, we were finally reclaiming our rightful place as humanity's middle kingdom. We were the world's richest and most dynamic superpower, masters of everything from outer space to cyberspace. It was the dawn of what the world was finally acknowledging as the Chinese century. And yet so many of us still live like these ignorant peasants, as stagnant and superstitious as the earliest Yang Xiao savages. I was still lost in my grand cultural criticism when I knelt to examine the first patient. She was running a high fever, 40 degrees centigrade, and she was shivering violently. Barely coherent, she whimpered slightly when I tried to move her limb. There was a wound in her right forearm, a bite mark. As I examined it closer, I realized that it wasn't from an animal. The bite radius and teeth mark had to have come from a small or possibly young human being. Although I hypothesized this to be the source of the infection, the actual injury was surprisingly clean. I asked the villagers again who had been taking care of these people. Again, they told me no one. I knew this could not be true. The human mouth is packed with bacteria, even more so than the most unhygienic dog. If no one had cleaned this woman's wound, why wasn't it throbbing with infection? I examined the six other patients. All show similar symptoms. All had similar wounds on various parts of their bodies. I asked one man, the most lucid of the group, who or what had inflicted these injuries. He told me it had happened when they had tried to subdue him. Who? I asked. I found patient zero behind the locked door of an abandoned apartment across town. He was 12 years old. His wrists and feet were bound with plastic packing twine. Although he'd rubbed off the skin around his bonds, there was no blood. There was also no blood on his other wounds, not on the gouges on his leg or arms, or from the large dry gap where his right big toe had been. He was writhing like an animal. A gag muffled his growls. At first, the villagers tried to hold me back. They warned me not to touch him, that he was cursed. I shrugged them off and reached for my mask and gloves. The boy's skin was as cold and gray as the cement on which he lay. I could find neither his heartbeat nor his pulse. His eyes were wild, wide, and sunken back in their sockets. They remained locked on me like a predatory beast. Throughout the examination, he was inexplicably hostile, reaching for me with his bound hands and snapping at me through his gag. His movements were so violent, I had to call for two of the largest villagers to help me hold him down.
All right. So thanks so much for checking that out. Now, Kevin, you actually have checked this book out.
Yeah, I have listened to it. You know, they got a lot of great people to voice it. They actually got Mark Hamill doing one of the soldiers in
Mark
it.
Hamill? Who's
Mark
that?
Hamill.
Yeah. You say it's like a documentary?
Yeah, so he must do audiobooks, too, and not just, you know, cartoon.
Well, he did the Star Wars radio drama.
Oh, yeah, he did. Okay. And I played a snippet of that last week, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yep, they got a lot of the original actors back.
But the cool part about this one is that they do it like documentary style, where they're sitting down to talk with people, relating their stories about, you know, what happened during
the zombie war.
And, you know, it goes kind of into detail. You know, a little bit more than movies, like kind of the things that the problems that zombies can really create, like, you know, zombies in colder climates, they freeze, but during the thaw, you have to really watch for zombies during spring. because the zombies start.
They're still undead.
Yeah, yeah. The snow or the cold will stop them, so you can have a relatively nice winter. So that's why a lot of people like to go north
To the colder climates.
To the colder climates because of the zombie war. But the spring, they have to go around in the snow drifts and hack up zombies that they find. Just because if they get loose, then they cause more problems. And then they kind of go into life after the war and kind of how, the whole, world as we know it kind of collapses and how office workers are kind of useless. And anybody that knows a trade actually is the most important people. Carpenters, machinists, people like that. Become what?
The zombie.
No, that's just a dude.
From wintertime. Look, he's all bundled up, and it is May 10th. That is sad.
Then,
it is sad.
Then also they have stories as when the war first started and the first battles with zombies and how all of our weaponry is kind of designed to work against living opponents, whereas...
You need something special to get rid of the undead.
You need specially made weapons to affect the undead, which,
nice.
It kind of turns out that, near the end, they turned into more battle axe, lance type weapons that decapitate.
So
and
that you can destroy.
And then you can puncture,
Move the head.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Zoe's, Shaun of the Dead.
But it's a very good audiobook. I really recommend it if that's one of your first ones you want to try.
That's the one I want to offer up to you. And remember, you can get yours free at audiblepodcast.com/canman. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/canman and get your free audiobook and your free 14-day trial.
Alrighty. Now we can take the show down a notch or two.
Take it down a notch.
Down the pooper.
Yeah. So you want to tell your story first, or was that your story?
That was my poopy story.
That was your story? Oh, God.
It wasn't really a poopy story.
Well.
It was a toilet story.
Chad spends more time in that chair than he does in the other chair.
My stories kind of span the week, and it kind of starts out with an ongoing problem at work, and we have someone that I've kind of dubbed myself the mad pisser, where a guy... We'll go in and he'll just piss all over the seat.
So you don't have a urinal?
Yeah, we got urinals.
But he'll just piss all over
the seat. He'll just go into the stall. He'll piss all over the seat. He'll take his piss and then he will not flush. So, three times I went into the bathroom at work to find the seat liberally sprinkled in
urine.
And I'd have to flush it and clean it and everything, and got to the point where I talked to the center manager and we put up these little quaint signs. What did the signs say?
They were polite and politically correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Get the job done.
No, I think I made it this way to shame them. So I, if you sprinkle.
Do you know who it is?
No, having a clue. It's got to be a newer person because, we don't have a lot of guys there.
Why don't you start following people into the bathroom or something?
Yeah, that wouldn't be creepy at all. That wouldn't be creepy at all.
Well, no, it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I don't want to have a
write-up. So, did you get any turkey?
Yeah, I didn't get no turkey. I didn't get no chicken. I get nothing.
Get enough turkey this Thanksgiving?
But, no, the little sign I put up was, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, be a sweetie, wipe the seedie.
Wow.
Okay.
If I still had a grandmother, I would have her crochet it and then put it into a frame and put it on there. Because you know what? That's shameful. Whoever the hell's doing that. Anyway, it was sad that I got to the point where I had to tell the center manager. But so going on, that kind of came to a head this week or last week, where I work.
The story's not over yet.
Oh, no. There's three stories here.
All related to the
bathroom etiquette, which people need to.
I've got a bathroom story too. So
anyway,
when you're done,
I'll
whip it out.
So, story number two.
No, that hasn't happened in a long time, Chad. Okay. Thanks.
Story number two does have a picture.
Okay.
Oh.
But okay, so
I'm not going to put this on the website if it's too gross.
Oh no, it's not too bad. I couldn't get that gray of a picture of it, but. nor did I want to. But went to the gym. I go to the Mac, and you know, one of the first things I do when I get there is to open up a locker, throw my stuff in, and then get ready and go out and exercise. Well,
with the imaginations are running
every so often, you know, there'll be some stuff in there and somebody doesn't have a lock on it, which it's fine. So, you know, Saturday I opened up the locker, and then I saw it closed, and then I shut it. I was like, wait a minute.
There's a little something. What
I see in there? So I opened it back up, and I found that someone had shat in their jeans. And is it shat or sharded? Sharded. They sharded in their jeans.
Soiled
and then
themselves.
And then bundled it up and then threw it into the locker for someone else to find, I guess.
They couldn't have thrown it in the garbage can?
Nope. They threw it in a locker because that, I don't know. What is the point where you sharded your jeans and they're a complete write-off that you can't?
It's so bad that you can't take them home.
That you can't wear them, or you can't roll them up in a bag, take them home, or I don't know. Maybe the guy didn't. Somehow the guy got out of the bathroom, you know, out of the locker room.
Sweatpants.
So must have had
stretchy pants.
He probably had stretchy pants. But no, I took a picture in the locker room, which when I think about it, I probably shouldn't be taking pictures in the locker room with a camera phone. That's probably not what I want. Yeah, that's probably frowned upon, but that's what I saw.
Oh dear God.
So
you're not posting that.
No?
No.
Come on.
Oh, you can throw it up on Facebook. Yeah, just throw that up on Facebook.
No, I'll pass. I won't put that on Facebook. So like that what greets me. I think the priceless thing is when I went up to the lady up front and I told her, yes, locker 152. Has a pair of sharded jeans in it, and she kind of looked at me like she didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Her pants. And she's like, oh, you know? I was like, oh, yeah, just the effect I was looking for, and then I just walked out, let her take care of it, or not her, but I'm sure she would have called someone else.
Appropriate staff member.
Yeah.
Somebody she doesn't like.
Bad. So,
Colin.
Clean up. Yeah.
Locker 152.
Yeah, well, locker 152. I will not forget that.
Pain.
Yeah, but anyway, so then we move on to Mother's Day. I go to a buffet with the family. And
a buffet? Do we want to know this buffet?
No, so we probably don't.
Avoid said buffet?
Most people in Cedar Rapids wouldn't go to it. We went out of town, so.
Okay.
So, you know, Katie needs to go to the bathroom, so. I take her.
Chad giggles because he's got a 4-year-old too.
Yeah, so you know, I take her into the men's bathroom. I don't go into the women's because that would
be awkward.
Be more awkward than
yeah,
the
there was
if there was
question
a guy
of somewhere. I don't remember where.
What's
it was.
The etiquette of that?
Yeah, what is the etiquette? As a man, do you escort your daughter into the women's bathroom? Wait, what? No,
I would get the dirtiest looks, and no women. Who knows what the hell doesn't what women do in a.
Besides
bathroom.
Sit on their fancy couch.
They got fancy couches in there.
Yes, and they have Japanese toilets that that talk and, you know,
and they've got
robotic toilets.
Toilet seats.
They got robot toilets. That's
no
what they got.
Regatto, Mr. And, toilet seat.
But anyway, so I go in there, and when I open up the stall door, you know, the look of horror on my child's face, which is priceless. I don't know why I didn't whip out a phone. I don't know why I didn't whip out my camera phone that time. But
was it happening?
She looks at it. You know what? That's the first thing that ran through my mind is that was a happening. Someone had downloaded in the toilet big time. There was a big download. It was stopped up. I actually had to plunge the toilet to get the thing to work.
There was a plunger in said bathroom?
Probably not the nicest of places. It was a really old place.
Okay.
So it's kind of one of your small town places that had a buffet for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time it's what you expect from a Greasy Spoon type of establishment.
Family dining.
Like a family restaurant in a small town.
With a bar in the corner. And
yeah. So, yeah. So the child's getting all you know, antsy that she has to go potty. And dad's busy plunging the toilet.
Because it's the only can.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go out and say, "Hey, mom, why don't you take her?" Because it was it a unisex bathroom? Is the only toilet in this joint?
I have no idea. I'm
there
sure
a men's
the
and a women's room. And
you there's sure the probably room. A men's or women's room there, but I don't know where. I never go to that one, so I never even paid attention where it is. Also, the bathroom's kind of weird because it had two doors to it, so someone could walk in both doors at the same time.
Weird.
I guess from each side, which would be kind of creepy, but yeah. So yeah, I don't know if we need to get some rules in place. Whenever you see those signs up at bathrooms, thinking, how bad does it get that they have to put a sign up this like this for their employees, or do they just have to post it? But yeah, I'm pretty disappointed with everybody's bathroom habits. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straighten that crap up.
Yeah, straighten it, flush it, whatever, plunge it. I mean, tell somebody.
Okay, well then here's a problem. I do flush. And the other day I was at Target East.
You know what
Target East in Cedar Rapids, that would be the men's bathroom up front at Target East.
The rule does not apply. You know, if it's yellow, let it mellow.
Right.
If it's brown, flush it down.
Right.
It doesn't apply. We don't pay for the water there at those places.
No.
So,
you know, obviously I'm going to flush because I'm polite like that. So I went to the bathroom at Target East, and I never go.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? Was that Target East? Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't sure the first time you said
it. The toilet in this place flushed so fast that there was, you know what it's like?
You pull your chokes out
in the water. It's like a tornado.
It sucked it down, but then there was a splash back up and out.
Oh.
Okay.
Bloop, and it splashed up about 2 feet.
Awesome.
And so when it's moving that fast, everything that you've let into the receptacle is all mixed up. And then when it comes back out, it's no longer the way it was. Yeah, yes. And so I watched this go way up and back down onto the seat and onto the floor. And I will never use said bathroom
at Target
East.
Not west, east. Maybe west as well if they have this extreme plumbing like this.
Extreme! You want it flushed, we'll flush it down. So fast it'll come back up.
God, extreme.
So you found a toilet that just goes too fast.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Too much power. I have too much power in my toilet. Yeah.
Is that even possible?
I upgraded my toilet. It's got 250 horsepower.
I love my new toilet seat. I really do. And you can limit to when
can
you come
we see
over
a picture of you on it? Have your wife take a picture of you on it.
You want to take
have a picture of you enjoying it with your pants off. I want to,
you know,
with your hands up, with your hands up, going whee.
There are already naked pictures of me on Facebook from when I was in the Full Monty.
But we need new ones.
No,
to replace
don't.
The old ones.
No,
you're
that's
not
okay.
Naked. Just some side leg.
Side leg,
you know, with your underwear down.
Yeah,
and not the sharded pairs or
not sharded at all.
Yeah,
couldn't all make right. it.
The extra scrubbed ones. Them. Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
If you want, I can take them to the gym next time.
Theater Cedar Rapids. I know we're here at TCR. They announced their 2010-2011 season a couple weeks ago, and been meaning to talk about it, and just want to, you know, maybe tell you about the shows that they're going to be doing next year. They still have Rent to go this season, and I think that's going to be it.
Well, they better get their rent paid pretty darn soon, or they might get booted out.
No. Rent.
Yes, I
know. You know, 525,000.
Joke.
600 minutes. Anyway, that's why I'm not in the show. But next season, starting in September 25th through October 2nd, it's the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which looks like it's a musical.
That's
a play. Never even heard of
it. It's a play. It says music and lyrics by William Finn, book by Rachel Scheinkin. A hilarious tale chronicling the experience of six whatever. Anyway, it's a Tony Award winner, PG-13. Not a show for younger children, but it looks
but
like it is.
But it's a spelling bee?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, here it goes. A hilarious tale chronicling the experience of six outsiders who are vying for the spelling bee or the spelling championship of a lifetime. From a Tony Award winning creative team, this hit musical will make you fall in love with its quirky yet charming cast of outsiders who learn that winning isn't everything and that losing doesn't necessarily make you a loser. So it must be dirty.
No, it makes you a non-winner.
For mature language, not a show for young children. And then the next one in October, October 15th through the 30th, is Six Characters in Search of an Author. This play follows the drama of six fictional but living and breathing characters who force their way into the rehearsal of a theater company and demand that their suffering be played on the stage. Regarded as one of the most influential plays of the 20th century, this version is adapted and directed by longtime TCR volunteer Jason Alberti. Also PG-13 for subject matter. You got excited about this next one, Kevin. White Christmas.
Yep. I always love seeing them, seeing the Christmas plays. So
it's based on the Paramount Pictures film. I'm dreaming of a white. Anyway, Christmas.
So I just noticed the dates on this. Six Characters in Search of an Author is around October.
Yep.
But they have Sweeney Todd.
Right.
On March. In March of next year?
Yeah, that should be more of a Halloween show, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
But they do see what the thing is, they're trying to mix up the musicals, trying to do musical, straight play, you know, because you don't want a musical after a musical after a musical, because that burns you out. But hey, what do I know?
But I would say mix it up a different way so you can make that happen.
But, yeah, hey.
But
the next one in line is Crimes of the Heart. That'll be in January and February. That one is rated PG for language in some mature situations. It says, in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, the three McGrath sisters have gathered to await the news of their grandfather, who is living out his last hours in a local hospital. One sister is unmarried at 30 and facing diminishing marital prospects. Another is back. Oh, excuse me. The other is back after a failed singing career on the West Coast, while the youngest sister is out on bail, having shot her husband in the stomach. Its characters escape the past to seize the future in a story that's both touching and consistently hilarious. So that looks fun. Followed by Sweeney Todd in March, which is one of my favorite musicals of all time. And I don't know why it's rated PG-13. It really should be rated R. Because
it's like the movie, then. Yeah,
for mature subject matter and excessive meat pies.
Yeah, basically it tells about this guy Sweeney Todd who loses his wife and ends up in jail on trumped up charges by this judge.
How cool would it be if that bar served meat pies?
That would be awesome
for hors d'oeuvres or something.
Are you talking the Londoner?
Londoner.
Is that what you're talking about, or which bar?
Yeah, as long as they serve fries, I guess. I don't know.
Chips.
And they give you chips.
And then April 8th through the 23rd is Eurydice, classic Greek myth of Orpheus is reimagined through the eyes of its heroine, dying young.
Eurydice.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, Eurydice. That must be it. Must journey to the underworld where she reunites Uranus? With her father. Struggles to Furry remember dice. Her lost love, the contemporary Furry characters,
yeah.
Ingenious plot twists, and poetic dialogue. That'll be April 8th through the 23rd next year.
That's Greek for furry dice, right?
then they follow that with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, no Greek.
Which is that C.S. Lewis story. And that runs May 13th through May 28th. And then Guys and Dolls.
See, that's another
July
one.
8th through the
30th.
That's
another one that they could really do during Christmas.
Guys and Dolls?
No, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yep. But it sounds like a really packed season. I mean, there's eight shows, man. That's huge. That's huge.
Oh, hopefully I can make it to something this year.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, this weekend, if you want to make it to something, the Marian Arts Festival runs May 15th at the City Square Park in Marion. I know we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. It's free. It's like a nice place. It's like a market where there's artists from all over the country that show off their work. You can even buy some while you're there. So that's pretty awesome.
Some of the photography that I saw there was pretty good last year, I think.
There was this guy who did these paintings that it was like stippling, except for you can only, if you're standing close to it, you can't really tell what it is. It's like a pixel. Oh. And then if you stand 10 feet or 30 feet away, you can see this amazingly detailed painting.
It's like a magic drawing, like kinda. A magic pattern drawing.
I mean, it's really cool that you,
I see the unicorn.
Yeah. No, it's not like your magic eye. It's really cool. Yeah. You don't even have to relax your eyes.
I know.
It's just, you know, standing at a distance.
Floating mall rats.
Yeah. I know. I know.
Ugh.
It's a good movie, by the way, Mallrats. Kevin Smith.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of people there. That place, man, packed.
And
people,
it's
everyone.
Free. It's free. And then after you go in the afternoon on Saturday, then you can come see Still Life with Iris here at Theater Cedar Rapids. To get your tickets there, it's theatercr.org. Make sure you get your tickets to that show, because I'm in it. It's going to be great. Yeah.
They going to let you keep your little hat with the flower on top of it after it's over? No?
No. The only thing I'm keeping is the prop that I made, which was the Captain Also's oar.
Oh, you just want that to beat your kids with.
Well, no. I have one at home. I have its mate at home.
But, one for each kid.
But you guys know this because you've been in my house. But for those of you who have never been there, I have this little wall of fame, this corner in my living room where I have different posters from every show I've been in.
Yeah, and not the wall that has pictures of people you're going to kill eventually.
No, later on. But no, that's my
that's downstairs. Yeah. That's the Starker
Nobody's
wall.
Crossed off yet?
Behind the blanket.
But on the wall, I've got photographs from every show I've been in, cast photos,
underwear.
And I try and keep one prop from every show that I've been in. And yes, my G string from Full
Monty. You keep your underwear from each one.
No.
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 No?
But I've got, you know, pictures from Peter Pan, pictures from Cuckoo's Nest. From Cuckoo's Nest, I have the Naked Lady deck of cards, a hand of cards on the wall. From Peter Pan, I have my pirate's teeth that I had. I had these really awesome teeth that I wore. From Full Monty, I have my G-string and my police hat, which I also wore in West Side Story.
So that does double duty on your wall?
It does double duty on the wall.
Duty.
He said duty.
This is a duty-filled
show. Yeah.
It is.
And we said that right when the wall turned red.
The wall
is dark.
Red.
It just
red,
influences
red
your mood.
Wall. Leslie, did you forget about us?
I did.
Get your ass over here.
Come on in.
We talked about stuff.
I was downstairs to chatting, and then I'm like, oh.
Hello.
It's okay.
You know, Kevin, you and I were watching the little bit of the show that Chad's in. And
Leslie directed.
At the end.
Leslie Sharper.
The lights go down, and then all of a sudden there's chit-chat going on. And it just felt weird.
And people are talking normally, and I'm like, that's not in character. Stop that.
Well, they were sitting
totally
in the house.
You're supposed to be acting.
It's a rehearsal.
Character to actor, that was all.
Yeah,
it's
we're just like schmucks that
just
normally watch the play by
just
buying
with
our ticket.
My head. Yeah. I mean, normally we come in, we see the show, and that's who we envision. That's the voice, that's the person, and then...
And then you saw everybody in their human form.
Yeah. But you know, Kevin, we should be used to that doing the forest because, you know, you were the chainsaw guy and I was the twin and we did that
scary
for
chainsaw
hours
guy
and hours on end. And then at the end of the night, everybody's normal again. And sometimes it's actually hard to get out of
character. When you come to rehearsals, it's a really different feel. Up until tonight, we've stopped and started. I mean, and tonight we just ran it. And it felt really good to just run it without the stopping and starting. That I mentioned this earlier, Len stopped in. Mm-hmm. And that last second act where I have to go from Captain Also to the flower painter, last couple nights, I've had, you know, plenty of time to get the costume changed. And if I wouldn't have had Len get someone to cover me on that scene change where they're bringing out
the
furniture and stuff.
Case.
Well, not the glass case, where they're bringing out the table, the painted table.
Yep.
That's the one scene change I was helping with. If I wouldn't have had someone do that, I would not have been up there in time as the flower painter at the end of that act.
But see, you guys didn't even know that, did you?
No. Mm-hmm.
You didn't even notice that there was any kind of chaos backstage.
No.
It was
It looked pretty good. I mean,
I felt like I was watching the play.
I felt like I paid for the play and was watching it.
Yep.
Well, you should have paid for it.
You're sort of traumatized, though, it seems like, after the whole...
And then they started talking, like, for real, and it's like, stop it.
It just felt like I had a limb severed or something. Totally cut me off.
Jeez, well, we're both looking at each other like,
wait...
What?
Those are normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's make-believe, guys.
They're starting to act
not real.
Starting to act like kids again.
Stop the trolley back to Mr. Rogers' house.
But you see at my house, though, I am Captain Also. And I am the flower painter. So, my wife calls me her gay husband.
That's
so
sweet.
Yeah, that's totally...
Chad.
Every woman wants a gay husband. Are you
totally
kidding me?
Totally. But Still Life with Iris, what made you guys decide to do this one?
I thought that the theater should do some family programming that wasn't musical stuff.
Right. Because so in the past, Aladdin.
Yeah, it's all musically for kids. And so I thought, you know, there are kids out there who would like to do theater but maybe aren't singers and dancers. So let's...
And there's a lot of them in this show.
Yeah. They're great.
They are. It's taken a little getting used to. I mean, there's a couple of them that have a lot more energy than I expected, like Harrison, for example.
Was Harrison the one at the end that didn't have an email address?
Right. Yes. Harrison. See, he reminds...
That was cool.
He's so awesome.
If you ever watched The Middle... He reminds me of Brick from The Middle. Uh-huh. I just keep expecting him to go, "What?" You know, do the little whisper down to the side. I mean, he's got so much energy. He's a handful, and he's doing a really good job.
He's great,
and everybody's doing good. It's just thank goodness we've got a few days before we, you know, get the show open so everybody can get their cues down.
Oh, are you kidding? I can't wait to see what happens when we have an audience. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I expect Harrison to just wander off stage because you know somebody in the audience. And I expect, you know, Lanessa to just sort of stare at you.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened tonight. Of course, you guys had no idea, but like somebody forgot their lines a couple times. And I know I during the flower painter scene at the beginning, mm-hmm. I was kind of flubbing my lines a little bit too. I was more focusing on, you know, doing the movements for the character, because mm-hmm. I'm really just last couple of days I've kind of been putting together who the flower painter is mm-hmm. in my mind.
He was funny tonight too. Did you guys see him?
No,
oh, you weren't.
No,
there
they
yet.
Weren't here yet.
We saw the very end.
Yeah,
but you guys, that was nothing. The flower painter earlier was good. It's just great. I had everything out of order in my head as far as like where the lines go. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I've got to really get that down. I mean, I have notes for myself, you know, that you. After we run it, Leslie gives us notes on what we need to work on, you know, or what she's seeing that we're kind of could do a little bit different or a little bit better. And her kind of assignment for me on Saturday was to really kind of become more of the flower painter. And I found on YouTube some Truman Capote videos.
Yep.
I watched Murder Before Death, where he plays one of the main characters in the movie, the guy that's brings all these people into like this Clue type setting. And I watched an interview he did on Dick Cavett, and just to watch his mannerisms, and I practice in front of a mirror a little bit.
Does anybody know who Dick Cavett is?
Yes, anymore? I remember. Okay. My parents right, used to watch Dick Cavett.
Yeah. I did not realize, but the Dick Cavett show is just like the Can-Man show. I mean, it's
just a bunch of BS.
It's four guys sitting in a room talking. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah. You're
that's,
right.
That's all it is. I mean, it was just them sitting in a chair, as you guys put it, Last Supper style, because they had the camera in front of them. But, like, the episode I was watching had Groucho Marx on there, who was about 90 years old, with Truman Capote, Groucho Marx, some other guy, and Dick Cavett. Dick Cavett was kind of ruling the room, and Truman Capote came in and was talking to Dick Cavett, and Truman Capote's really soft-spoken, so Groucho Marx couldn't hear what he was saying. So it'd be like Kevin going, "What the hell are you talking about over there?" And it's just kind of cool, I mean, to do that kind of fun research. Now, Captain also, I kind of stole from the pirate from, like, SpongeBob, you know. "Who lives in the pineapple under the sea?" You know, that voice is kind of...
Aren't you the pirate or the ghost pirate?
I don't know. The one who lives in does the theme song.
Patchy,
I guess.
Seriously, you guys know all about SpongeBob?
We have 4-year-olds.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
All of us do.
I've watched more enough. SpongeBob than... Ugh. No,
do you
thank
watch
you.
SpongeBob?
I hate SpongeBob.
I never said I liked
freaking
it.
I freaking hate it.
And then is Patrick the sea star? Isn't he the voice of Dobber?
Dobber.
Is it Dobber?
I learned this weekend that the guy that plays Mr. Krabs...
Yeah.
Is the guy that also played Lex Luthor in the Superman animated series, if you can hear his voice. But here's the kicker.
That's totally different.
He was in Nightmare on Elm Street, the new one.
The
he
new
was
one?
The kid's dad.
Oh, the Kurgan? He's the Kurgan from the Highlander.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, the deep voice guy.
Oh, yes. That's the Kurgan is the voice of Mr. Krabs.
Oh, he does God. Mr. Krabs.
He does
I
Mr. Krabs.
I just started at the Highlander reference. I'm sorry.
We get all over the place.
That's awesome.
So,
oh, we're geeks here.
I can't get That's through a whole Highlander episode, though. I try and I try.
Well, I don't watch the series. We're talking the movie.
Oh,
the movie,
all right.
You know, with what's his name? The French guy. What was his name that played the Highlander?
Oh, the
I
French guy.
Yeah,
oh.
I can't think of
I've
his name.
I've never even tried to watch an episode. I know I'm.
Yeah, the movie's excellent.
Here,
is it?
I mean, there's it's dated. I mean,
or the movies.
But, you know, it's got Sean Connery in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I haven't. Nope.
Sean Connery, who plays a Spaniard with a Scottish accent.
That's great.
Which is awesome.
That's how your mother likes it.
Exactly. So, Leslie, you guys just decided to do this show, and what made you pick some of these shows for this next season? We were kind of going over, we kind of went through the season,
yeah.
But, like, why is Sweeney Todd not at Halloween? And is it just because you wanted to mix it up, straight play, musical?
Yeah, we've sort of figured out a pretty good formula in terms of who comes to theater when. And trying to push a Halloween show is hard for us because of the way we schedule the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be squeezing that. We did that when we had Rocky Horror going on. We'd squeeze this show in between the first show of the season and the Christmas show. And or we could wait.
Right.
And then we aren't starting our season until mid-October, which seemed weird. So we thought, I kind of thought that Sweeney Todd's kind of a great winter, gray, cold thing.
Yeah, I could see that.
Thing.
Yeah.
So we put it smack dab in the middle of winter. So if you're feeling crappy about life in January-ish, then come see Sweeney Todd.
That'll make you
feel
worse.
So much better.
Because it is a tragedy
it
a
is.
Little bit.
Yeah.
It does make you feel better about your life.
I was saying that
it's
we
depressing
should,
at the same time.
I was thinking that for hors d'oeuvres, you should serve meat pies or something.
I think that's an excellent idea.
That'd be awesome.
Uh-huh.
Totally. Totally.
I'm going to be at Sweeney.
And have slowly but surely, like, the staff starts reducing by one.
I'm working the hardest I can. Really, I am, you know.
Get a bug wrangler to have little cockroaches go
That's
up there.
Right.
And that'd be awesome. So when I was trying to, because I've not been to a show here yet since it's been open.
You haven't?
No.
Love of God.
I'm a bastard like that.
Jesus.
So in the kitchen, I know we noticed that you have like beers and that kind of stuff.
They are locked up, right?
I know Zins. Well, yes, because I would have one cracked open right now. But Zins comes in and caters.
Yeah.
So like if you come to a show, what can you expect for like accoutrements like for that type
Oh, it's
of thing?
Awesome. So you can come an hour before the show starts and there's a bar in the lounge and you can get mixed drinks and wine and beer. And then Zins is doing a tasting plate before the show, during intermission, and after the show. So for $5 you can get a plate, and then there's past hors d'oeuvres before the show starts or at intermission, and then there's past dessert bites after a show, which are awesome.
So you just keep your plate with you? And
well, you can pay $10 and have a plate for the entire evening. $5 gets you a plate for pre-show, intermission, or post-show.
That was the one thing, you know, before where you'd have intermission and mm-hmm. you'd just kind of be standing here with a bunch of people just kind of staring at each other.
Well, everybody be crammed in the lobby trying to get a pop or something.
It's really lovely. And the concessions now is run by Zins as well, so if you don't want to hang out in the lobby or in the lounge, you can go get a beer and kind of walk
around
the lobby.
Get some milk duds and popcorn.
Actually, yeah. It's better. It's better than that.
It's nice.
Well, I know that. I'm
like
one
fancy
that hates
popcorn.
Food at a movie theater, so it'd
really?
Be nice to be able to have something.
It's grown-up food. I mean, it's great.
I mean,
from what I've heard, it's really good. And Richie Akers was talking about how much fun he had with producers and hanging out here after the shows, and the desserts are good, and then the mixed drinks are even better.
It's a grown-up place. Yeah.
Yep.
And then on the cake, yeah.
And really, then you guys will be leasing this out for events and different things.
Yeah, we've already had stuff in here. We've had some company dinners have been in here already, and Zane's caters those. And
nice.
Oh, wow.
Receptions and all kinds
so
of stuff.
So on opening night, is that still open to the public, or is it just cast and crew that get to go to
our
that?
Our party afterwards is just cast and crew. It's
cool.
Exclusive.
Cool, because in the past, it used to be like open to everybody was invited over.
Yeah, and, you know, people Did you see that the lady creepy with the old blanket?
Lady with the blanket over her head?
I saw that.
What was that all about?
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
Well, it was chilling. No,
you missed Captain Also.
It pretty much was.
Captain Also looks like a homeless person.
Well, snowman cold blanket outside, over your head. So
yeah.
That's
baby, it's nice cold out.
It's a brightly colored quilt.
Yeah, so she doesn't get run over or anything. Goodness gracious.
Come up to the window and go, bam!
Get me out of here! And then you look in the distance and here's zombies chasing her
down.
I
was just thinking that.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that was our book recommendation this week, audiobook download, The World War Z, an oral history of the zombie war. And remember, you can get that free by going to audiblepodcast.com/canman.
You know who Max Brooks is, I believe?
No.
Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah, that's his son. Yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
I did know that.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, I had to think about it.
All right.
I was thinking James L. Brooks from
whatever.
From The Simpsons. I don't know who that guy is exactly, but I do know that Max Brooks is Mel Brooks' son. I didn't even put two and two together while I was thinking of it, but yeah, I knew he did this book. I'm glad you mentioned it. Mel Brooks' son.
Never catch me alive, copper!
There's been some more cops go around this building. I thought for sure you guys had set the alarm or something.
No.
On us, and you know, just the cops are coming to get us.
Well, I think one of the neatest thing about this little spot here is that when you drive by, you always see it, and you see people in here, and you keep on thinking, oh, I want to go in there. That looks pretty cool.
That was one of the intentions with the renovation, is that we'd never had First Avenue visibility before, and we thought, you know what, if we're going to do this, let's get more people looking at us.
Definitely. Yes. I know my wife keeps asking, so.
Well, yep. Get on.
I know.
Really you guys got to get your tickets.
Silhouettes at Halloween time or something.
I know. We should do something cool. Well, there's all kinds of stuff. I keep thinking we should do, like, performance-y things where you think nothing's going on in here.
You could have people on platforms standing really still in costume, and then all of a sudden they move.
You know, Christmas windows, you know, they used to do that at Armstrong's. But, you know, do Halloween windows and you know, have actors in here. It'd be cool.
Would be cool.
Sweeney Todd.
Well, that's what we have. Six characters in search of an author is we close Halloween weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people think it's some heady thing, but it's really actually a very creepy story in keeping with Halloween.
Cool.
It's very strange and very creepy.
I didn't get that
from my description.
There's, you know, there's this contemporary theater company who's putting on a show, and then out of nowhere come these turn of the century characters walking down the aisle saying we need a story, and they're adamant about it, and they clearly have a story, but they're unable to tell it, and it's the story is all about illicit love and weirdness going on in this family.
I noticed a mature theme this year with the shows. As you go through there, and it describes rated PG-13, mature. I thought that's great that you're doing that.
Well, yeah, we had some family show up to Hair last year.
Yeah.
And during the sodomy song was pretty much the big exodus of families. And I thought everybody knew what Hair was and what the subject matter was.
No. I've never seen, like, the movie. Is the movie different so they might get an idea looking at the movie?
No, it was you guys even cut the nudity.
We did cut the nudity.
But
we mooned people every once in a while. But
what?
But
no boobs?
No boobs.
I had to get my boobs in there.
Yeah, he's the boob guy.
Are you the boob guy?
Chad coined me the boob guy, I guess.
Kevin's the beer guy. He's the boob guy. And I'm the guy who's here. So, yeah.
Chad's the guy with the toilet.
I'm the guy with the toilet. The can man.
The comfy toilet seat.
Yeah. Yes. We got a new $30 toilet seat.
Is it a squishy?
No. It's really nice. It cups your cheeks just right.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. It's great.
A cheek cupper.
It's
so
nice.
So anyway, we go back to the play. I apologize for my reference throwing us
so
off.
So people were freaked out by Hair. And I thought, I mean, what's not to get about hippies and in the 60s?
I think it's been long enough since the 60s that a lot of the younger parents probably didn't grow up in the 70s or 60s and had to, you know, had that slapped in their face.
It's probably people that just saw the commercials for the movie Hair and they saw John Travolta and thought,
was John Travolta in Hair?
You're confusing Hair with Hairspray.
Hairspray.
Yeah.
Hair.
Sadly.
Hair was hippies and Age of the Aquarius. And
see? I would have brought my kids, and then they would have been horrified, yeah. And I would have ran out of there. So
you're waiting for the Cordy Collins
well,
show.
Well, and actually, I always feel bad when people show up to something, and I'm like, oh, they're clearly not knowing what's going to happen here.
Oh yeah, like the Full Monty, we'd had kids come to that. You know, no, people would bring their kids to the Full Monty.
Seriously,
truly, people just don't.
They don't get it.
They
it's
don't
theater.
Pay attention.
See, I'm not a theater buff, so for me, that would be associating. Like when parents bring their kids to a movie like Saw.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You just want to smack them.
Put the baby seat beside you.
What do you mean they get naked at the end of the play?
How dare there be a nudity in Saw? What the hell are you guys thinking? You know?
Nice.
I saw nudity on a decapitated body. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
let's take our kids to torture porn.
Yeah.
Nice.
Torture porn.
That's what Saw and the Hostel. That's what they call it these days. Torture porn.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Me, I just would think it'd be like a gory horror movie.
Me, I just think it was interesting once, and they need to stop.
Yeah, but it makes money.
Well,
that's
the thing. I went to the Nightmare on Elm Street the other day.
Is it any good?
It was like one of those. Well, I'll get to that in a moment, but. You know, you walk in as a 33-year-old, and here's a bunch of kids, and you're going, how many of these kids saw the original? Who knows out of this crowd who Robert Englund is?
Yeah.
And
he's the guy from V.
He is.
He was
the alien from V.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't know that.
So, no, I know.
No, it was, you know, I'm going in. Not necessarily a huge fan of Nightmare on Elm Street, but I have seen them all as a horror buff. And so I'm going in with expectations.
I saw it.
There's a lot of good reviews about it. Those reviews are coming from people who have no clue who Willy from V was. Who Robert Englund as Freddy was. All they know is that Johnny Depp's first movie
I saw Nightmare on Elm Street the first time on videotape. On a black and white TV, and it was a thunderstorm out, and I was home alone at 17 years old, home alone, black and white TV, scared the crap out of me. After that, I started laughing because I figured out Freddy Krueger is kind of a cornball,
but the first time Earl Haley is not a cornball.
No. I don't believe Earl that.
Haley brings demon to the character.
When I saw that he was cast in that role, I thought, oh, that's brilliant.
It was, and we all thought that. That was the unanimous consensus that Jackie Earl Haley was going to bring demon to the character, and he did. And he did it very well.
I read an interview, he didn't bring the cornball that
Robert Englund was, and what made Freddy more than horror made it fun.
Yeah, well, he when he was talking about when he was trying to get into character, he was playing
Jackie or Robert.
Yeah, Jackie Earl Haley. He said he Freddy Krueger is a lot more pissed off than he was when Robert Englund played him.
Yeah,
he's a lot more pissed off that he got killed by the people.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the new Friday the 13th that came out. There's no cornball on that. I mean, this guy is just a killing machine.
Well, there wasn't any cornball in the first Friday the 13th.
I think cinema is becoming a lot more gritty because it sells. After the Batman and the Dark Knight, you know, kind of took the cornball out of Batman.
Well, I would say before Dark Knight, there was Casino Royale.
Right. Well,
which took it back to down and dirty.
Right.
I mean, and then there was a trend in Dark Knight and all of that, or Batman.
And that is the trend right now, is to make it more, you know, realistic. Take the kid out of that. I think it's because everybody was pissed off about Jar Jar Binks. That's my theory.
Really?
Yeah, Ewoks and Jar Jar Binks. Everybody's pissed off. Well, it's like the Janet Jackson effect, the Nipplegate. You know, they took all the sex and stuff out of TV because, you know, she and Justin showed her boob. You know, it's the same kind of ripple effect, I think. But
nipple ripple effect.
Nipple ripple.
The nipple ripple has caused the Jar Jar Binks effect.
I was going to title this episode Still Life with Can Man, but now it's going to be the nipple ripple.
Yeah.
Episode 86, the nipple ripple.
Oh, yeah, there's the ripple.
We got the ripples on the walls. Yeah. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen,
it's getting late. If you turn your head sideways, there's a little bit more.
I'm going to close the show tonight with
JJ in there.
Some Jonathan Colton. Not sure what song I'm going to play
staring
yet.
Staring at me like I said. Is there a zombie song?
Yeah, your brains.
Yeah,
let's bring that out. I haven't played that in a while.
Love that one.
So, your brains, Jonathan Colton. If you like his stuff, check it out. Go to Amazon or go to his website, jonathancolton.com.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. It's good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. Really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I don't wanna nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out of food and guns, and you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. Open up the door. We'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. I sure appreciate the way you're working with me. I'm not a monster, Tom. Well, technically I am. I guess I am. Ground somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who were chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. Open up the door. We'll all come inside and eat your brains.
Thank you again for listening to The Can Man Show. Please check out our website at www.thecanmanshow.com.
Can you do that again? Can Man! Can Man Show!
I can try. Let's see.
I love The Can Man Show. I love The Can Man. Don't you know? Download it on iTunes. That'd be sweet. Need some traffic. I can't.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Wouldn't that be neat?
There we go.
Cock.
Ooh. I'm almost impressed.